Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Black Noise Radio. I just got the news that the great Al Jarreau has passed. My condolences to the Jarreau family, one of my favorite all-time jazz male singers. Have seen him several times. In the upcoming broadcast, we will have a tribute to Al Jarreau. But today, we want you to get your Jesus on. It's a straight mix of gospel sounds, sermons, and messages. We'll start with Reverend C.L. Franklin.
Yeah.
When we first heard Aretha Franklin many years ago, we heard her singing this song. I have heard of a land where we shall never grow old.
Evening's lecture is rather significant and gives me quite a lot of pleasure as well as displeasure having to give it. Why the pleasure is very understandable. Why the displeasure may be the problem. But the problem comes not from the persons receiving it. It comes from the manner in which they receive the information for what they have. I brought with me, as you see right here, two basic books. They are books from Egypt. When these books were written, there was no God by the name of Jehovah, no God by the name of Jesus, and no God by the name of Allah. Yet African people were here in this world. And I'm going to speak on data going back before Adam and Eve. There were no Adam and no Eve from whence I'm going to speak, and the world was here. There was no book of Genesis because the Hebrews gave us what is called the five books of Moses. And the first Hebrew was a man called Abraham. Abraham was born in the city of Ur in Chaldea. It is spelled U-R, Ur, and Chaldea is spelled C-H-A-L-D-E-A. He was born around 1700 before the Common Era, as you may say, before Christ. That means that his mother was here. I said he was born from a woman and a man, meaning both parents preceded him, and their parents and ancestors before them preceded him. He was born after they were already a nation, and many other nations that were neighbors to that nation, and there was no state by the name of Israel yet. So I give just slight background to start so that you have no problem in understanding that Solomon wasn't born yet. A would be. Abraham was born, according to them, around the 14th dynasty. That's us, the Africans. We had dynasties all along the Nile. I don't know of an Asian dynasty nor the European dynasty, but I can assure you there were African dynasties. Thus, if we had dynasties, we had pharaohs. As a matter of fact, we had the first one. And we had them until the Asians came while we were in our 14th dynasty, the first group of Asians to come to conquer any part in the continent we call today Africa. We had dynasties. In and around the first dynasty, we were still without an organization we today call Masonic, by whatever reason or meaning. And in the third dynasty, however, we started an organization to continue the building of structures in Egypt. And may I remind you that Egypt is the last nation built along the Nile, not the first, as some of us speak. The first nation built along the Nile started in Central East Africa. Today we call it Uganda. It was part of the Bokonga Kingdom. And I'm going back rather far because I'm going before the first dynasty, meaning I'm going before 4,100 years before the Christian era. Solomon, on the other hand, doesn't come in before 1,000 B.C., and that would be around the time when Greece came into existence. That means the first European nation. I hope you will take note of that fact. The first European nation in history is Greece and Rome. That is providing you want to accept that a wolf named Remus raised two people, and those people created a state. I mean, if all those kind of things we accept in Harvard and places like that, and it's okay. But when I speak anything serious, it's difficult because they come from Africa. Now, these positions I'm laying down so that we have no difficulty when I start to deal more directly in what we call the Masonic literature. It would seem to me that the history states that the first literary person in all of Europe, the first one to have written anything for publication so that others can read it, would be a Greek. And that Greek would write two pieces of literature, the Iliad and the Odyssey. The first two books written any place in Europe. And the nation was called Greece, and the author was Homer. There is, I will put my life on it, no other work written in Europe prior to those two books, the Iliad and the Odyssey. And Homer said in the Odyssey, even the gods that Greece adopted came from Ethiopia. And there is no Ethiopia anyway in the continent of Europe. No Asia. There's one in Africa, East Africa to be exact. I know, I was born there. Now, that as it is, we need to move a little, but I just thought that it was necessary to establish this point. So we got two most important things in what I'm going to speak about tonight. I am not speaking tonight when I mention the name Solomon and the Masonic lodges or anything dealing with Masons, dealing with Asia or Africa or vice versa. I am dealing with Solomon as spoken about by England, not by Asia or by Africa. Let me make it clearer. A part of an island related to Europe, otherwise in ancient time called Angloland, which is today called England, with a combination of Ireland and Scotland. This land took upon itself, after finding some documents in Egypt, a part of Africa, Northeast Africa, did translate those documents for the purpose of their own. And out of that, using with what was developed as the Holy Grail in an attempt to conquer part of Asia and part of Northeast Africa, in that they continued on, adopted certain teachings, and did call that today what we know as the Masonic principles.
We like very much to have the Reverend's Father just come forward. We see him so seldom. Like for him to come and say hello to you. Reverend C. L. Franklin, let's give him a hand. And to all of the musicians in this great choir, I think that Reverend Cleveland picked a bad time for me to make a talk behind all of the spirit and enthusiasm that Aretha has engendered here tonight. It took me all the way back to the living room at home when she was 6 and 7 years of age. It took me back to about 11 when she started traveling with me on the road singing gospel. I saw you crying and I saw you responding, but I was just about to bust wide open. You're talking about being moved. Not only because Aretha is my daughter, and of course, you know, I wouldn't be right upset if I didn't appreciate that. But I say with pride that Aretha is not only my daughter, Aretha is just a stone singer. Reverend James Cleveland knows about those days when James was in his late teens, no more than about 20, get that old. Of course, that's been about 40 years ago. came to prepare our choir for a gospel broadcast, which is still in existence. And James was living with us for a while he was organizing and developing that choir. And he and Aretha used to go in the living room and spend hours in there singing different songs. And Aretha, with that uncanny ear, picked up many of his techniques. I am glad that Reverend Cleveland decided, and he and Aretha got together, to make this gospel album. I'm going to say this and I'm finished. I went in the cleaners one day in Detroit to pick up some clothes. And Aretha had appeared on a recent television show. And she told me, I saw your daughter Aretha last night. I said, yes. said, how did you like it? Said, it was all right. Said, but I'll be glad when you come back to the church. I said, listen, baby, let me tell you something. If you want to know the truth, she has never left the church. I said, all you have to do is have something in here and the ability to hear and the ability to see, and you will know that Aretha is still a gospel singer. And the way she sings in this church, she sings anywhere she sings. She took me with her to Switzerland and France and Italy this past summer. And we were over there about 5 or 6 weeks. And I was thinking about, reminiscing over, recapitulate. Now, I'm using big words tonight, you know. How the crowds responded in the same way. The Italians, as well as the French and others, many of them could not speak English, Mr. Wexler. That's a recording man right there from Atlantic. They couldn't speak English, not conversationally, but they remembered the English words of Aretha's songs. They, you know, memorized them. And they would say, eventually during the program, Aretha! Aretha! Stevie in the door. I'm just happy, Reverend Cleveland. And I'm happy for this great choir and all who have contributed to make this a great night. God bless you all. And I've had a wonderful time.
I'm Let's go.